Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
13-10 Browns. Okay, maybe before the game you might have thought possible with 4 minutes to go in the game. Unlikely. Guy who sat there and watched it all joins us right now on the fan hotline. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read all of his work. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, sir. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, sir.
Hi, sir.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're okay. It shows you what a good defense can do for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. And, you know, Joe Flacco talked about it after the Ravens loss and again after the game yesterday. That's how they need to win games, is to just give the defense some help and then take advantage when the defense gives you a good field position, which it did finally with the first takeaway of the year. And, you know, it's going to be ugly and it's not an easy way to win games. But where they are offensively right now, they feel like that's the blueprint to try to get victories. But it all starts with a dominating defense.
All right. Just give me your, like, I know he was, coach was getting asked a lot of questions too about Joe Flacco after the game. What would you do? And what do you think Kevin wants to do with a quarterback situation, knowing that, you know, that they didn't get a whole lot until the end of the game?
Yeah, I would stay with Joe Flacco. I think that's what Kevin, I mean, he said he would, but I think that's what he wants to do. I get it, right? They didn't move the ball until, I mean, they moved it, but they didn't get inside the red zone. They didn't score until 4 minutes left in the game. I don't think it's all Joe Flacco's fault, and I get that, you know, the quarterback's the easiest guy to change, and maybe there's a spark, and maybe it is about the quarterback and decision-making, and I get it. He's the most important guy in the field. And Joe wasn't perfect yesterday, missed a couple of throws, but he also protected the ball. And to me, it's more about, going back to what I said just said a minute ago, it's about the style of play. And they are playing so conservatively that it's going to be a bunch of checkdowns. It's going to be runs on third down that set up punts. And that's hard to watch as a fan. And Joe said it a million times after the game. It's hard. And he gets the frustration of the fans. And, you know, he wants to be out there putting up yards. And he knows the guys on offense want to be out there putting up yards. But they don't feel, or he doesn't feel like they're in a spot offensively where they're going to be explosive. So to give yourself the best chance to win and support that defense, it's checkdowns and it's running the ball and it's punting. And when you have that mentality, then I think it's hard to really criticize the quarterback when, you know, I think he's being coached to throw the swing pass to Jerome Ford all day long and to dump it to Harold Fannin. Even, you know, there's that flea flicker. I'm pretty sure the flea flicker was designed to be a screen pass and not take a shot up top. So, you know, could he have made a couple of better throws? Yes. But, you know, if the protection's not great, I think a couple of times when they were going to take shots downfield, Joe didn't have time, and the protection got to him too quickly, so he's got to throw it away. So I just don't think it's right to dump it all on Flacco, and I still think he gives them the best chance to win right now.
39 targets to your top two wide receivers through three games and 20 receptions. That's about 50%. That's not good. Is it the wide receivers? Is it Joe? Is it the offensive line? Is it just a combination of all three things, Scott?
Yeah, it's a combination, Jeff. I mean, we know what the drops were like the first two games. Yeah, I don't remember
they were visual and brutal.
Yesterday.
Yep.
Right. So that's part of it. You know, has Joe missed guys? Sure. You know, there was a little hook to Jeudy yesterday and he threw it high. But, you know, so it's the drops. It's Joe missing a couple. And then a lot of it's the protection. I mean, in that Ravens game, you know, there were probably eight throws where Joe was flushed out of the pocket and threw it at somebody's feet or threw it out of bounds. And those still go as a target, right? So, you know, I do think it's a combination of both. I think the receivers need to do a better job, and maybe it's schematically, maybe it's a coaching thing, of getting guys open better. But it's hard to do when you don't have all day back there, right? So I thought Cedric Tillman made strides yesterday. I didn't think he played well against Baltimore. He couldn't stay on his feet. There were some good third down conversions that Tillman had. He drew, you know, a couple penalties down near in the end zone or near the goal line that helped sustain drives. So, you know, they definitely need more production there. We saw a ton of Isaiah Bond on the field yesterday. Now, you know, he made one catch over the middle. I think there's still plenty of room for growth there, but you can tell that they're going to make him a big piece of this offense. But there's no doubt they need better production there. But I think it's, again, I think it's a complete offensive thing. But that doesn't mean the receivers don't need to be better, because they do need to be better.
Can you tell me a way this offense is going to score more than 20 points a game? Like, I don't see it. And maybe Quinshon Judkins is the answer. Maybe this is something that can infuse the offense that and be able to, because otherwise it's, you know, it's him and the tight ends that seem to be getting the work done, in at least yesterday, I should say that.
Right. I would start with Quinshon Judkins, and I think he gives the offense a chance to do that. And the better he gets, you know, do defenses, and I talked to Quinshon about this last week, do defenses adjust? And does all of a sudden a seventh or eighth guy come down in the box, and that frees up the receivers, and it frees up Joe Flacco. And if it's one high safety versus two safeties, then you can take some shots, you know, down the field. But you have to respect the run game. The defense has to respect the run game in order for that to change. And Judkins, if he plays like the Browns think he can play, can change that math. And I do think that can open things up offensively. They need to figure out the protection better, you know, which is hard to do when you're down your top two tackles, right? Because that means you're keeping more guys in to protect, which means there's fewer guys out in the routes, and it helps the defense, and they can cover. They can double team both the receivers. So it's all of it, but I think Judkins, and if they can get Jack Conklin and or Juwan Jones back, I really think that would help. And then it's, you know, the young guys taking the next step in the maturation process, always being in the right spot, always getting lined up on time. You know, it's a million little things, but I do think Judkins, if you're looking for an easy answer, it's Judkins needs to change things and have some big runs. And then the defense needs to give him better field position. And we talked about they only have the one takeaway, and it was Delpit's interception, which was huge. The offense needs help. They need to be in better field position to give themselves a chance to score more points.
With that all in mind, and Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, the Browns ran the ball 19 times yesterday. And 18 of them by Judkins, only one for Dylan Sampson, no carries for Jerome Ford. Is that okay that you're going to just run one guy like crazy? Was it a one-off for one game? Because I think we were all kind of led to believe, hey, it's going to be this Judkins and Sampson combo back there.
I have no problem with that. I mean, Green Bay does pretty much a similar thing, you know, with Josh Jacobs.
Do.
I don't know, he's been around a lot longer. I don't think 18 carries is too much for Judkins. You know, it's his only second game, so maybe you could, you know, argue there a little bit, but assuming he's where he needs to be physically, and I think 18 carries is fine. I think 22 carries is fine. I think he's clearing away your best ball carrier. Now, could you see more of Dylan Sampson out of the backfield? Yes. We saw Jerome Ford play a lot on third down. He was part of the, you know, two-minute drill offense because he's a better pass protector. And we saw Sampson get run over in Baltimore a couple times. And he's trying, but he's just small. So they got to figure out a role for Sampson, because like we saw week one, he can be effective in space with the ball in his hands. But I'm not sure right now how much of that is him lining up as, you know, the true running back. I think you're better served with Judkins. And then when Judkins needs a break, you go with Jerome Ford.
All right, let's talk about the hero of the game, Andre Schmidt, who ended up, you know, kicking that game-winning field goal yesterday. Just your thoughts on him and his story as we start to hear a little bit more about what was going on in his life before training camp, which I don't when did you find that out? When did you hear about
it? Like after the game yesterday?
Yes. Yeah, like no one knew.
And explain.
Yeah, that his mother had passed away like 10 days before camp opened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Suddenly she hadn't been sick.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, some of the vitriol that was out there about him after the Cincinnati game, if that would have been tempered a little bit if people knew. But I don't know. Everyone chooses their own path when you lose a loved one, so.
Yeah, I mean, his mom died July 10th of a brain aneurysm. And obviously that's difficult for everyone to deal with, anyone to deal with. And then I think you're right about week one. If people had known that, you know, and Kevin Stefanski, I think, referred a couple times, like he's been going through some stuff.
Yeah.
But didn't elaborate, right? And I do think it plays into the Browns' decision to keep him. If you know a guy who's been dealing with all these things, maybe you give him a little grace week one. And I think I would hope that if fans knew that, there would have been more grace given to Schmidt. And, you know, I don't know why it wasn't known. You know, did he want to keep it a secret? He felt like after the game, he talked about it pretty openly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like that was something everyone would have been better served knowing. But it's just such a good redemption story for Schmidt and you know, the Browns stick with him and good for them for sticking with him. And then he makes all his kicks week two. It doesn't really matter. They get blown out. And then to come out and yesterday he said, you know, I didn't kick until the fourth quarter. Then he has to come out and he kicks field goal, extra point, and then the 55 yarder to win the game. Just good for the kid. And I know his teammates are so happy for him. And they had his back the whole time, and part of that's probably, you know, the mom situation. But he got great support when he missed the kicks against the Bengals. And then to see his teammates mob him at midfield yesterday, it was really a feel-good moment. And, you know, the kid's got a big leg. It was a 55-yarder that was good by a lot. So, you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But, you know, it'd be nice if the Browns found – their kicker, right? Because they've been looking for one that could stick for more than a year and a half for a long time.
Since Phil Dawson, right? It seems.
Yeah, pretty much.
It seems. So you've had three really, really, really good defensive efforts. You're going to need good defensive efforts in the weeks ahead because, man, you've got another good offense against Detroit. In theory, another good one against Minnesota. You know, Carson Wentz seemed to calm things down up there. Can this defense keep playing at this level, Scott?
I think it can. You know, I don't know if it's realistic to think, you know, it's going to be 230 yards a game for 17 weeks. You know, I mean, that's asking a lot. But I'll tell you what, Green Bay is really good offensively. And so is Baltimore and so is Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. And the Browns' defense played great in all three games. So I don't think it's unreasonable to expect this defense to play really solid. And I keep going back to the takeaways. That's the next step. Like going into yesterday's game, I said the only way the Browns win is if the defense either scores or sets them up on a really short field. And that's wound up what happened. And I think that's going to be necessary more often than not, especially with, you know, unless the offense figures something out, which we'll see if they do. And I know there's optimism, you know, Joe Flacco thinks they can, but for right now, that's not happening. So this defense has to play like it did and then make another big play or two to change the game. And they came close on that fumble, right? I mean, they wind up getting the blocked field goal, but Devin Bush gets the ball out. You know, whether or not the Browns recovered it, you know, we don't know. But that was another chance for them to make a huge play on defense. And I think that's what could separate this unit because I think it's as good as anybody in the league. But if you start turning over and turning that into points, that's where it can rise to the next level.
Scott, always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Thanks, folks.
All right, baseball fans, get ready. Get ready. Here we go. Oh, boy. Tomorrow night, Tigers in town for three. Friday, Rangers in town for three. And then is there more baseball for our Cleveland Guardians? Oh, boy. I'm Jeff Phelps. This is Andy Baskin.
You know, Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long starting at just $30 for your first year, looking at $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. See, I read that like I was like, instead of saying, that sounds like it's about $2.50 a month. That's like $2.50. Now, are you okay with that now?
That's great.
Okay. Good morning, San Diego.
This has been such a fun finish to the baseball season. I mean, we all clearly hope that this team does what it can do and gets into the postseason. Right now, they're tied for the last wild card spot. Tiebreakers go to the Guardians. Right now, they're sitting there. This team, without an offense... Why can't we have an offense in this town? Can the Cavs start and score some points? Could that?
Sure.
Okay. We don't have a baseball team with much of an offense. We don't have a football team with much of an offense. But this baseball team without much of an offense won 15 of 16 games before yesterday. Their 10-game losing streak came to or winning streak came to an end yesterday. Lost to the Twins 6-2. They had won 15 of 16 games down the stretch, Andy. To get back into this thing, man, it's been so fun to watch the way they've played, and the offense has been okay. I mean, they've had some really they've had offense when they've needed it. What they've really had is the football equivalent of defense, starting pitching that has been phenomenal, and it's now 17 straight games. 17 straight games where the starting pitchers have given up two or fewer runs. 17 straight games. Andy, that's silly.
It's been impressive.
That's silly good.
I'm just trying to think back to
the team record.
The last time, September 4th. I know you're talking offense. You're talking pitching. I'm talking what happened yesterday too, but you're right. Let me dive into that pitching situation. So again, it has been truly remarkable. And again, you're talking about a historic comeback. It would be the greatest in baseball history to come back from 15 and a half.
They were down 15 and a half games.
So it would be it is what movies are written about, especially when you think about the plot twists of having two guys accused of what they've been accused of. And they're still getting paid, by the way. My question for you, Jeff, coming into the stretch run with six games to go, right? You're in a wild card spot, right?
Second
with pitching. Yeah. You're in a wild card spot as of today, and you're one back on Detroit. You have six games to go. Do you continue with a six-man rotation, or do you try to figure out another way to get Gavin Williams back in there if you need him against Texas?
I wait and see.
Because right now they're teed up to go Williams, Bibee, Messick against Detroit. Allen, Ciccone, Cantillo against Texas.
Who would you throw out? Because they've all done well. All of these guys have done well.
To be honest with you, depending on how things look against Detroit for that third game, and I like Messick, and I think he's been pitching great,
I can see that.
And it's only because of youth, and maybe that's the only reason why I would do it, which is a bad reason to want to not, But then again, who are you switching them out for? I mean, you're either going to push Allen up, Ciccone, or Cantillo. But Ciccone would be coming back on, when did he pitch, Saturday?
You have six real viable
options. Yeah, he pitched on Saturday.
I mean, Andy, 17 straight starts of two or fewer runs.
Yeah, you could go. You could go.
Come on.
Couldn't you go Ciccone on Thursday against Detroit if you needed to? He pitched on Saturday. Is that what, 3 days, Russ?
Or you could just roll them all out. Let them go.
Or just do what you've been doing. Yeah, maybe.
Let them go.
Go with what got you there?
Why not?
Dan, what would you do? I'm curious on your thought.
If you get
sticking with six?
If you get to the last game and you need somebody.
Everybody's available.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Everybody's available.
Yeah, if it's winning, you're in, then everybody's on the table. I mean, outside of whoever pitched the day previous.
You have six games. And by the way, you may have to get, if that was the case, to go win again. Although, yeah,
I'd run six-man rotation, and I would attempt to set it up. I got to look before I open my mouth.
Well, here's where
I
you are. Here's where you're at. Williams, Bibee, Messick, Allen, Ciccone, Quintilla.
Okay. So you have it in front of you, Andy?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Who pitched 2 days ago?
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Allen and Ciccone.
Okay.
And
because I'm trying to figure out in my head who I could get on 3 days rest on Sunday if it's winning, you're in. That was what I was going through in my head. Is there any way I can get Gavin Williams on 3 days rest with winning, you're in?
So you could bring, I mean, in a regular five-man rotation, 1, 2, 3, 4, you would go back to Williams on Saturday night, which is a Fox game. But would you do that and bump Ciccone out?
I might hold Williams. If you're in a position where Sunday is win and you're in, I want Gavin Williams on the bump.
Yeah.
That's the dude. I want the guy that can throw 98 with that 12-6 hook that makes everybody look silly on the bump.
This is great.
What?
You know how much fun this is to talk about?
Oh, it's the best. This is the best.
He'd be pitching on 4 days rest.
You can do that.
Williams, exactly.
That's a winner. We can make that work. Yeah.
If you get to Sunday and you need it, Gavin Williams would be pitching on 4 days rest.
Right. So that's
doable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to do the math backwards to see if you could get him back on a Sunday. So that works out nicely.
Yeah. You don't even have to do anything. I mean, he throws tonight.
Killer.
And then if you need him.
You're just choosing not to throw Quintilla.
No, he's choosing to throw Gavin Williams.
I'm choosing to throw Gavin Williams. It's not a slight at Quintilla. It's just if you're going to make me pick between Cantillo and Gavin Williams, I'm going to pick Gavin Williams every time.
But that's only if the season comes down to the last day.
I mean, if you're out of it, then yes, you stay in order and don't try to push anything.
If you're out of it, it doesn't matter.
Right. You don't try to push anything. But boy, if it's either you've got to maintain what you have, you got a one-game lead and you got to maintain, or it's winning you're in, then, you know, Big Rig, here's the ball. Give me seven. I need it. I need everything you got in the tank. I'll worry about you being tired later.
We'll see what they decide to do. The beauty of it is that they have this opportunity.
I mean, they're looking at three spots here, right? Winning the Central or wild card one or wild card two. They could be either one of them.
Do you guys see it the same way? Would you give the ball to Gavin Williams and win
Absolutely,
in your end?
Absolutely, yes. I'm just trying to figure out how
depends
who I might pull out.
Honestly, like it depends.
But they would be ready to go by the second inning.
I haven't dug into any analytics about the Texas Rangers and how they hit lefties, righties, and blah, 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 and what they've done against our guys.
Does it matter? Don't you just want your best pitcher out there? It seems to be what Detroit's doing right now, isn't it?
That's where I am.
I would think Gavin Williams is your best guy, except for one thing.
Yep, here we go. What is it?
They won 15 of 16 games. They used the six-man rotation, and all of the guys have been nails.
Well, no, we juggled a little last week, didn't we?
Yes, they did a little juggle.
Yeah.
Just a little, because that way you weren't pitching Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee on extreme rest. They still had an extra day's rest.
The doubleheader actually kind of helped in that way.
Logan Allen was lights out.
Yeah.
Man, was he good. Look, the big picture is this. This offense isn't good. And somehow, their pitching, again, has carried them to this point. And the offense has been good enough to support the pitching just enough to win 15 of 16 before yesterday's loss and to have you sitting there in a playoff spot right now with six games to go. It's unbelievable. Part of me, it makes part of me mad because I think, well, if only you had a couple of more bats. Well, okay, you don't. You thought you were going to have Lane Thomas. That didn't work. And he didn't hit terribly well. You kind of assumed that somebody would emerge in right field and play pretty good ball. That never happened. You looked over at first base. You brought in Carlos Santana. He was your number one offensive acquisition. He's not here anymore.
Here's what I do know. Babe Naylor has looked great in the last 10 games, hasn't he?
You mean the guy you wanted to run out of town?
Who said I was running him out of town? Babe Naylor. That's what we're going to start calling
him. Get on a boat and go back to Ontario, kid.
He is Babe Ruth lately. 278 in the last 10 games, 10 hits, a home run, 7 RBI, 5 runs scored. Oh, come on, man. Where has this guy been all year?
It's all you want from a catcher is just run into 20 bombs and keep the pitching staff in order.
And he's done a really nice job of that. I would think it sets a great tone in his mind, in the organization's mind for next year. But we're not worried about that yet.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
because
it.
Because you've got three against the Tigers.
Just keep being three against Naylor, the Rangers. Man. That's all I care about.
You think you can...
And as little David Fry as possible.
If you take... If you take two out of
wonderful
three...
Wonderful person. He can't hit.
If you take two out of three against the Tigers here, you're going to be tied for the division heading into the final weekend of the season.
With the advantage, because you have the season series over Detroit.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
It is unbelievable.
But you've got to take two out of three. I mean, mathematically, no, you don't, because you still have three more to go.
Right.
But you need to take two out of three.
I agree. Win this miniseries. That's all you got to do. Win it. Just win the series.
Two out of three. All you need. You get three. Well, you got something different going there, but boy, can you even imagine? The starting pitching has just been incredible. It's mind-boggling, actually, how good the starting pitching has been. And then the bullpen has been terrific and is, you know, follow that up. The run totals have been better as of late. You know, yesterday, you know, you hope yesterday didn't reset back to the offense that wasn't doing very well.
That was my fear. Yep. That's my only fear.
They won a bunch of games, Andy, during that winning streak where they didn't score very many runs.
Well, they were averaging like 3.5 runs a game.
Yeah.
Which is enough for this rotation, which is awesome.
They scored until the last three games of the winning streak. They had only scored more than 4 runs during that streak twice. So it, you know, the offense is still struggling.
Is the house going to be packed this week? That's my question, especially for what we're looking at with Scooble here too. William Scooble, come on, man!
Oh, it's going to be fun on Tuesday.
It's a playoff game. It's a playoff game. Well, I wonder what tickets are.
They're all playoff games.
Yeah, but this is like game one. I don't know.
It feels like game one. You're 100% right.
It's gigantic.
It's been playoff games the entire month of September, but this one, this feels like a big boy game.
This team has won 15 of 17 games down the stretch, folks. Down the stretch. And with 6 to go, they have a chance. Are you befuddled? Are you flabbergasted? Are you stunned? Are you proud? I mean, the Guardians have a chance to get to the postseason with the worst batting average in Major League Baseball. Think about that one. 216-474-0092.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Tyvus Powell, our buddy from the Browns Radio Network, coming up at noon. I'm going to talk to Tyvus about the 13-10 win over the pesky Green Bay Packers yesterday. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy is a disgruntled Andy Baskin. Good news from the fan family.
Yes.
We've expanded.
Yes.
Not just because of lunch. Congratulations to the Peterlin family. They've gone from 3 to 4. Little Chloe Peterlin, born this morning, 8:38. Wanted to make sure Dad could get to work.
Yeah, no kidding. Please tell me he's not working today.
I'm not making him come in, are they?
No, Coach Kevigan, can he have the day off? Can he have the day off today? Am I allowed to ask that in our this is the post-birth press conference, by the way.
Yeah, Andy, we'll let him get out a little bit early after he does film study and then make sure he splits off into our rooms afterward to make sure he is well informed on the game plan of the week ahead.
Better cool down before he goes, too. You know,
that's true.
You don't want to walk out of the building hot.
He doesn't deserve all the credit for this. His wife, Elise, does. Let's be honest.
Usually there are two people involved in this, Andy.
It's a team game, and we all know that everyone has to be pulling in the right direction for true success to be on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems to be most books I read takes two. So.
All right, I'm going to get us out of this. Never mind. You guys didn't want to do the bit the way I wanted to do it anyway, so we'll let's just go. Congratulations.
You wanted to get Menigan fired.
You guys wanted to get me fired.
Andy wanted to talk sex and babies and how do you do it, and he wanted Menigan to do it all.
That's not true.
Andy wanted to sit back and laugh as Dan's filing for unemployment.
When we finally are allowed to do Baskin and Phelps After Dark, we'll do it then.
I just wanted to do
maybe
it like...
Maybe we could do it on YouTube.
Like he was our coach... And we were doing a post-birth press conference.
We have the lighting.
We do have the lighting.
If you're going to tell the joke, you got to explain it.
There's no joke. I'm just saying we can do it on YouTube.
Yes, we have lights in here.
You got something you got to say over there?
Who, me? I got nothing. I got nothing left.
All right.
Congratulations to the Peterlins. That's all I'll say.
There you go.
Job well done.
We were talking about the Guardians.
Yes.
We're going to talk Browns coming up with Tyvus Powell at noon. The Guardians have three with the Tigers starting tomorrow, three with the Rangers starting on Friday. And then, can you imagine if this team without an offense for most of the year goes to the postseason? Good Lord. Anthony's in Cleveland Heights. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Ty.
Hi, Ty.
Hey.
Hey, he didn't have a bad game last night, did he? I just caught part of it.
He's yelling at his coach.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, he wants the team to be better. You expect that.
Yeah. There you go.
Great players know how to motivate each other, and sometimes coaches need to be motivated too.
There you go. Hey, I wanted to point something out here with the Guardians. You know, Antonetti said in one of the pregame broadcasts on the radio, it might have been Saturday, but he was asked a question, and he made the point that they in the off season they realized that they needed more pitching. So I just want to point out that, you know, because the Josh Naylor trade gets grief, but
I haven't given a grief since
I have.
I haven't.
Yeah, right. But I'm just exactly. So I'm just saying. Not having Slade and have to maybe throw a triple A pitcher here or there would not be the best scenario. So, you know, once again, this you got to hand it to this front office. We're having the foresight to see we're probably going to need more pitching this year, even though they couldn't foresee losing Ortiz to the allegations. But once again, their approach works. And the other thing I want to point out with regard to that, because there was so much talk about what they didn't do, sometimes the best trades you make and the best free agents you don't pick up are the trades you don't make and the free agents you don't pick up. They went into this season, and Antonetti started before this season. He at one point said, the players that are going to help us win this year are on the roster already. So I got to hand it to this team for being deliberate when they designed their roster.
Anthony, thank you very much. Slade Ciccone has done a terrific job. I like him. I like him long term. My guess is that 20 home runs and the 88 runs batted in would have helped this team even more.
I
like Slade a lot.
I don't know. Since he left Arizona, I kind of felt like it was a wash. So,
well, you knew he was going to leave the minute they fell out of contention because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
No, I hear you.
That was their plan.
So if they have to win, I just want to double check with you guys because I'm just kind of doing the math on this. They must win the Central to get any kind of to be guaranteed a home game, right?
You're worried about home games?
Yeah, I'm worried about home games.
That is correct.
Okay, yeah, they have to win the Central to get a home game. Yeah, because Wild Card 2 doesn't get it. That's right. And that's a best of three, correct? And the first two are at the higher seat. And the third game is at the lower seat if they have to play the third game. Isn't that correct?
I love that. Can I use a Menigan line?
Yeah.
It's adorable that you're looking for whether you're going to be at home or not.
Well, they could make the playoffs and not have a home game. That's why I was looking at that.
That's adorable.
Well, why not, man? I've been talking about this. I was talking about them sweeping Detroit if they had the opportunity to do it. I didn't think they would, but I would never put it aside. In fact, I think it was Meredith and I that both said we were going down this road. When you guys were completely negative about everything, go, no, they can't score runs. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, they can't score runs. But if you ask bottom line opinion, yeah, the idea was, nope, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yep. I'm looking at it right now. That bracket and schedule has us playing Detroit next week.
Possible now.
Although that could flip so simple. 6-3 could flip so easily.
Does the front office get credit for this? Does ownership get any credit for this? Or do they catch grief because they haven't scored enough runs?
Haven't done enough.
There's no reason they can't have another bat.
Like
the higher seed hosts all three games in the wild card.
Oh, it's all three. You don't even have a chance. Oh man. Okay. Thank you. I couldn't remember how that went down. This is only the second year we've been in this, right?
I think this is technically year three, but nonetheless.
And you know what? That's a good rule.
Time flies.
That's a good rule.
It means that you've earned it, right?
You played 162.
Yeah.
You definitely earned it. Is there one thing that impresses you the most about this team, this franchise, this specific group or big picture? You know what impresses me the most? The consistency with the way they operate. They're very consistent in their approach to how they do things.
Is that by necessity?
Well, it does. Yes. I think it is, but it also doesn't matter. They've come up with a formula that works for them. It works. You know, they're not the Dodgers. They're not going to spend like crazy. They're not the Yankees. They're not going to spend like crazy. That's okay. It works. Terry Pluto wrote a story the other day, and Terry was right on the money. And he just said, you know, when he was a kid, he would have died for a team like this.
Yeah, we said the same thing. We've said that a million times.
You know, we didn't. I never saw the playoffs until I was, you know.
Same as me.
Yeah, our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we were adults. In fact, you didn't even think of it. I never did. When I was growing up and we never even thought of it.
We never had a playoff game at Municipal.
No.
Right.
Well, we didn't. Not in our lifetime.
You and I didn't. No. I mean, I was thinking this yesterday.
Wasn't even anything I thought of at the beginning of the year. I never thought, can this team win the pennant? Now I think it every year. Can this team win the pennant? It's a question. It's a viable question. And can they this year? I doubt it. But who's to say they can't right now? Because you're sitting there and you're going to have a chance. And to go into the last week of this baseball season with this offense, as bad as it's been all year, it hasn't been bad in September, as bad as it's been all year, I think it's just a tribute to the way they do things. And I know people don't like to hear that. Because, well, if they'd have spent more money, they'd have had bats. Yeah, exactly. And I don't like the Naylor trade, even though I really like Slade Ciccone.
Mm-hmm.
But here they sit.
You go back
six games to go, and right now they're in the playoffs.
You go back to giving credit. So ask yourself this. When you're ripping the Dolans next time or you're ripping the front office, if you go back and look at the winning percentage of teams in Major League Baseball over the last 10 years, do you know where the Guardians/Indians fall?
Number two, three?
Four. They're fourth. The Dodgers have the highest winning percentage, followed by the Astros, Cheaters, Yankees, and then the Guardians.
It's a pretty good company.
Especially when you think about the payroll. Brewers are fifth there, my friend.
I don't think it tells you anything when it comes to also ripping the Dolans. Because if anything, you look at this on top of it and go, boy, what would this look like if you would have decided to, I don't know, keep some of the guys that you moved on from that are bats? What would this look like if you would have went out and maybe put one more power bat inside of here so we're having a conversation about this being an ALCS team instead of, hey, they're squeaking in?
What were they last year?
Like, that's the part that I look at. They had more power last year. They were able to hit the ball over the fence last year. You can pull the numbers up. They hit the ball over the fence last year. They drew more walks.
They had a first baseman that hit 30.
They had a first baseman who hit 30, but they found power from other areas as well. This season, that hasn't happened. I don't think it changes an overall opinion of the Dolans, nor should it, because I'm still going to look at this team in the offseason and go, you need to find some pop.
Everyone is saying that. That's, I, like, no, I don't think that that's like some earth-shattering thing that they don't have a guy that can't hit. Did they bring in guys that they thought maybe could hit, or maybe they let one back go that could have added? Yeah, they could have. But that's not my point. My point is, when you look at the best winning percentage of teams over the last 10 years, the Guardians are fourth. Do I want a World Series in there? Yeah,
yes,
I want a World Series.
And congratulations for clearing that bar. But after a while, you have to look at your high jumper and say, good, you cleared 5 foot. Now, when do you clear 5'2"? At a certain point, you need to raise the bar.
And maybe that's the plan that we saw starting to unfold during the draft this year. Because they had a very different philosophy when it came to the draft. Young, power-hitting college prospects. So might not be on the timetable everybody wants, but I think a shift in organizational philosophy has happened. Take a different approach with the hitters. Keep the same approach with the pitching. All we know, it's going to be a fun week right here in town. It starts tomorrow against the Tigers. Tyvis Powell is our buddy on the Browns Radio Network. He's going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.